Right, we'll get underway. I think most people are here. So just welcome everyone. Welcome to our visitors from Port Otago. Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome to staff. We have no apologies. The apology of Ella, Councillor Ella Lawton. You note the attendance of the Port Otago personnel. Confirmation of agenda. I have been not advised of any additions that people wish to have on the agenda. Public forum, no public forum. We'll move straight on to the first item, which is the Port Otago Statement of Corporate Intent. It sets out the nature and... Sorry, I'll do that after, if that's right.
Okay.
Yep. That sets out the nature and the scope of activities for the three-year period coming up, which is an annual event. Sets out those each year for those 3 years. So, Mr. Faulkner, is there anything you wish to say at this stage?
No, other than to say there's pretty minor changes this year in terms of updating for the, you know, the, obviously another year on to the 3 years.
Yep.
Highlighted a few projects that we've...
Yep.
Potential numbers have been up.
Yes. That's good. Seems to get a bit longer each year, but however, that's probably all good. Questions then, please. Councillor Deagle.
It's probably a minor question, but I'd like to hear you, either Dave or Kevin, expand on 2.31i, which reads, complete the removal of material from the Flagstaff Hill. I'd like to get a mental picture of what that means, what it will look like when you've completed that removal.
Well, I'll start. We're about a third of the way through. So this is the project which has been on the books
yep.
for some time.
I know.
And the work is now underway. It starts at the very top and moves down and benches. And we're about a third of the way down the hill. The weather's been very kind to us so far in the week. And to date, that is going well. It does require trucks to go back up and up the main road, etc. But from what I hear, that's going very well.
Are there any structures involved? So it's just material as in geological material.
Councillor Woodhead.
We're just restaking line, and the rail is in the middle of the road at the moment. So when we finish the project, we'll be able to shift the footpath back to where it was originally, then put the road back to where it was, put the fence up, and it would just mean two-lane traffic for the public, no interaction with our trains, and it will all be with continuity.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that, both of you.
Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to move the recommendations if you want someone to do that at this point, but I do have a question, and it's around the environmental factors are getting, and climate change in particular, getting a lot of attention at the moment, and I note there that we'll continue to evaluate and, where practical, implement technology solutions to deliver improved environmental outcomes, such as the electrification of the light vehicle fleet. So just wondering if there's some comment around that?
Well, I think clearly we've got our heavy vehicle fleet, which is the straddles and the side loaders, which those are 60-tonne machines, and the technology doesn't really exist for those to be electrified at the moment. Hopefully, or hydrogen will replace it. To go and replace our straddle loader fleet with light vehicles that run around the port and a takedowns.
Yes.
That's the only thing I was wondering. Yes.
Thank you, Councillor Scott.
Yeah, thank you. 2 points. The first one is, it's actually in the ORC report, where it refers to a harbourside vision. It says continue to engage and support the harbourside vision along the ORC, the DCC and the University of Otago. And I'd just like to know a little bit more about what actual vision is referred to there. The second point is there's quite a bit going on that's interfacing with the community, and I see that in some of your plans and so forth. Just how do you identify projects that interface with the community, and how do you monitor feedback? I mean, do you survey? How does all that sort of work to get to the point you're at? So the first one, the Harbourside Vision, and two, that whole interface with the community, how you manage that process.
Yep. Okay. If I deal with the Harbourside.
Yeah.
So we signed up to a memorandum with the university, DCC.
Okay, the
memorandum that was.
I see. So it's not a harbour. It's not right to say a harbourside vision, is it? It's a steamer basin vision.
Generally called harbourside vision.
And that's
okay.
So not the grand harbourside.
Yeah.
Vision,
okay. No, that's okay.
Yeah. So we're a participant of that and involved.
Okay.
And so we support
that
project, and we've obviously supported that with the university as well this year.
Yep, thank you. Yeah. Yep.
Good. Community engagement, well, that's an ongoing process. And we have the Noise and Environment Committee. They bring to the table the
Does that all go via the noise committee?
Yes, so it's a noise and environment committee.
Environment committee.
So we use it as a community engagement. Great cross section. I can engage with.
Perhaps while we're on that, the issue with the Rio class ships, how are you progressing that?
Yep, I've just been updated, so I'll
Rio is going to talk through these in the past, the great ships, but they're just noisy, so that's the only downside. Really. They're very nice. Six of them in the world running around in rotation. All the science completed on them that prove that they are the noisiest ship that is running around on the New Zealand coast. They've got this low rumble that is raised that with March, April, and then violence are in global options. heads up and put a lot of work on Toyota Corollas and go down. We're not there yet, but we've gone from theories to we've got an option that looks like it might work.
So are you putting money into it?
We can put a lot of money into it.
Into the retrofitting itself.
They're not our ships.
No, I know that.
And ultimately that's Maersk's issue, but it's commercial, so you always focused on that.
Good on you. Well done.
And I think hopefully we get to a point where we've got a solution. And we're
other port companies involved as well?
Yeah, we've got Littleton. They're clearly getting the same sort of issues with their...
Thank you for that, Councillor Noon.
Mr. Chair, just going back to the clause 6E that Councillor Woodhead referred to, and just the reference to shore power for vessels, and just wondering, are you able to share with us the major challenges, impediments? Obviously, there's financial cost, etc., but are you able to share any information from Port's point of view just about the possibility of that ever happening?
I've got it sitting here today. But there could be technology at some stage in the future around the corner that might enable it. But to do it now, you're just about building a new power station and a huge new cable to. That's if the ships have to plug a. Give it more than a 3 plug that gets. So, get. What we're saying is changes, technology changes.
Is it fair to say that there's a deficiency in the on land infrastructure currently?
Correct. Right. And ship.
And ship, okay. All right, thank you for that. And the other query I had was around in that same under 6G, and just wondering with Tyrone, obviously. Start construction of the groins or whatever, or obtain a resource consent for it first. Just whereabouts is that project at?
Yeah, I talked this about. Clearly, we've been working quite hard on this project, and we've got a final design. We've moved into the consenting process in response. We are running a parallel project with the DCC on the Tyrone Reserve. They've allocated 9 million that we're going to be restating. So it's going to be a great community project. So we're just trying to run those two projects as well. Overlap there.
Mr. Chairman, I think Councillor Neil seconded.
Right. Thank you. Councillor Laws was next. Sorry.
My question was exactly the same as Councillor Noon's last question, and so I'm heartened to hear that progress is being made. So, physical work, you expect that to be started before the end of the year, then, by the sound of this? I certainly hope you get the consent too. Thank you.
Councillor Laws.
Chambers Property Limited. Got here implement the strategy for the enhancement of the property portfolio. Now, it'd be fair to say, wouldn't it, that Chalmers Property is the more profitable side of your business. Probably you'd have more assets than that in Port of Otago in terms of value, wouldn't you? So I'm interested in knowing how you're going to enhance your property portfolio over the next 12 months.
Well, I think the last few years selling something, buying or building something of a better standard, and basically getting the quality of our stock up quite considerably. And we've been making that's what we're talking about.
Right, so is it still your intention to spend and invest more of your time, effort and energy in the North Island? Because that there has been a diminution of your investment in Otago and... what are you intending Waikato at the moment? You're looking to sell your properties, but are you looking to reinvest the monies that you gain from that and purchasing further property portfolio in that area? Or
property for sale? Will sell some property.
And the projected profit for 1920, the net profit or the profit before tax, what's that estimated to be? I'm sorry, I don't have the statement, and it wasn't given with my papers.
Is this out of the group as a whole or just the land?
Out of the group as a whole.
Group as a whole?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't like talking about that, actually, at this stage, Ms. Ford.
Why? Sorry, you're with me. You're with the governance team. We own you. Why aren't you telling us what your projected profit's going to be for the next 12 months? How is that commercially sensitive? No, how is that commercially sensitive?
Well, I'm sure a lot of other courts would like to know what their predictions are.
Won't be finalised yet either, is it?
That's not the point. You are owned by the Otago Regional Council, 100%. We're your governors. This is a statement of intent. Are you saying to me that you're not going to tell us what your projected profit is for the next 12 months as a group?
As of today, we don't quite have that sorted.
Yeah. Let's make a suggestion. Okay, Chairman, if the information needs to be shared, we can move into non-public, and if it's confidential, move into non-public, we can receive it, and then move back into public to finish off the session.
But we're not that far off receiving the annual report from the port, so I think we should wait until then.
The annual report, that's a oracle document. I'm interested in the statement of intent. This is what you're going to do over the next 12 months. So that's why I'm interested in... You're 100% owned by the ratepayer of Otago. This is the governance team that oversees you. You're accountable to us. And you're saying you've got the figure, but you're not going to provide it to us because it's commercially sensitive. And I'm struggling to see how your projected profit could be commercially sensitive.
Okay, we've had the answer. We must move on. Councillor Robertson.
No, look,
I'm sorry, Councillor Laws. They've given us your answer, so we're moving on. Councillor Robertson.
That is not an answer. You're not doing your job.
My question was actually around Chalmers Properties as well. And just, I actually think it builds on from Councillor Law's first question, which was, statement of corporate intent A and B under Chalmers Property, continue to implement the strategy for enhancement of the property portfolio, and the second one, continue to implement the strategies for the sale and redevelopment ones. And just, so I guess, as a as an owner, I just need to ask that there is a strategy currently, and I guess, it's otherwise, it's quite open to being anything. Continue to implement the strategy could mean not to do something, it could mean to do something. It's quite broad as a statement there. Just so, making sure that there is a strategy and that there are strategies for both of those points. And I guess whether or not that lines up with the objectives as well at the start, which is relating to Chalmers Property there about gaining best to, 1.9 and 1.10, is that reflecting the strategy? Because I think if we saw a Port Otago Limited and the statement of corporate intent for it would be continue to implement the strategy for enhancement of Port Otago, I'm not sure that's a really specific one, so it's hard to get a sense of what it's actually trying to achieve.
Yeah, well, in that business, sort of opportunities arise when you least expect it. And I think that's why it's summarised. The right opportunity comes along, which fits in with our strategy, we would look at it. And that includes the purchase of land in this area or the sale of land in this area.
Does Chalmers Property have strategies then that are actually...
Thank you.
Supplementary to that. Sorry. I'm a bit bemused. Can you please explain it to me, Mr. Chairman? This is a statement of intent of a company that is 100% owned by the Otago Regional Council. And we are accountable for that. The intention of a statement of intent, now you tell me if I've got this right or wrong, is to in actual fact review what they're going to do over the next 12 months and for us to be satisfied that that is the path satisfies us as their governors that progress is going to be made. Is that correct? Have I got that right?
Sort of. The statement of corporate intent is amended by the port. presented to us for comment, discussion, and then back to the port board for approval.
Cool. So we do have an input into it, don't we?
Yes, that's what this meeting is.
Brilliant. So therefore, if that's the case, then asking for what the strategy is of the Chalmers portfolio in some detail is absolutely our responsibility. And so therefore... The strategy is, as I understand it from the answer of the chairman, opportunism. Now, it can't be. I'm sure it is. Take the best of your opportunities, but you must. That, by its very nature, is not a strategy. So the question that Councillor Robertson asks is, what is the strategy for the Chalmers portfolio? We haven't seen it, have we?
Not specifically.
No. Happy to provide that to us. Or would that be commercially sensitive as well? Okay, so that you could provide it to us as long as it wasn't in public, is that right?
Yes.
So that would also go for the profit of your company over the next 12 months too, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So can I get an assurance from you that we will get both those two things, but they'll be provided to us in confidence?
Confidentiality around
but yes.
If we can ensure.
Mr. Chairman, I think as Councillor Laws may not be aware, this council has for a long, long, long time had the position that while we are, on behalf of the ratepayers, the owners of Port Otago, we are at arm's length from the management. And we appoint top quality directors to a top quality board who are responsible for the management of the port company, including Chalmers Property. That's the way it's been. That's the way I hope it will always be. And if that board tells us that an issue is commercially sensitive, and they've got every right to know that that is so, and we have every responsibility to accept that that is so. I'm not interested in their projections of profit, partly because we know that this table is inclined to leak like an old army bell tent. And I would be perfectly happy to accept their answer that commercial sensitivity is significant to them. And I think we should leave it at that, as we always have done.
Thank you, Councillor Deagle. I endorse those comments. Councillor Kempton.
Yes, I just would like to direct Councillor Laws to the fact that you can do a couple of numbers here, and you can get a bit of a rough idea of where, what the P&L might look like, but the important numbers are here. That is, there is a commitment to level of dividend. There is an absolute under. There is an. There are targets for return on investment, and we know how much we've got invested. There it is.
Yeah. Can I answer that though? Because it does need to be said. If we don't know what profit projected profit is, there's a correlative. I'm stunned that I haven't a lecture. There's a correlative link between profit and dividend. And if there's going to be a significant decline in profit or an increase in profit, we need to know for our own accounts whether or not the dividend is set at the right level, or whether or not there's going to be a risk factor, or whether it's set appropriately. And my understanding at the moment is that there's a review currently, I think, isn't there, of the port holdings, our shareholdings in the port, underway.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I can't, with any degree of assurance for my constituents, be able to say without that the dividend is set at the right level for the coming 12 to 24 months unless we have some pretty basic commercial information available to us.
Okay, look, we must move on. We've had enough time on this. I've got one final question. The cruise ship business has grown enormously. How's the port coping with that in terms of infrastructure and everything?
Yeah, sincerely, the number of cruise ships.
What's your problem?
Offering we've had. Triple days this year. Oh. Not a load on.
How are you going to accommodate that? Accommodate three cruise ships at once.
You told us that last time. Yeah.
Does Dunedin cope with that?
Councillor Hope, last question.
Thank you. Mine's about staffing. We went to the great day that you put on, thank you very much, and it was really good to look round, good to meet your staff. Obviously, lots of your objectives here in your statement of incorporation, you talk a lot about training, you look about staff. Over the next few years, with everything increasing like we've just talked about and you being a multi-purpose port, do you see your staff numbers rising? Yes.
Wait for us. Like to Auckland, go and have a look at from that.
Mm.
So it's, you know, at the moment we're just looking to see, you know, where that goes.
Yes. Isn't everyone goes home safe, everyone goes home happy. Yes. Thank you.
We'll draw it to a close. We've got the recommendation has been moved and seconded. I put it to the meeting. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against?
No.
Carried. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you once again. We'll see you at the full year report, which is not too far away.
Thank you. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
Can I just, want to say something about just what we've just been through. And I've been involved in a very similar situation with the Central Lakes Trust and Pioneer Generation, which is the same sort of setup as what we've got here. I honestly believe that we should have been going into committee, and I would have supported Councillor Noon's suggestion to do certain things. That does not mean that they have to, you know, it is commercial sensitive, their business. And I just want to say that whenever we discussed those things, we don't have the press, they didn't come to our meetings anyhow, but we were treated highly, you know, it was treated in confidentiality when we were asking certain questions. But the overall other part was in the open meeting proceed, so to speak. So I just think that today we probably ended up, and Council Laws had every right to be able to challenge and do what he wanted to ask, but we should have had a format where we had gone into committee to, in my view, to discuss this further, as my personal view. And I would have supported Councillor Noon if he had moved in that direction. I just want to leave those sentiments because I can understand the where Dave was coming from, the chairman was coming from Port Otago.
Well, the trouble is, though, we get leaking out of here all the time. And that's the problem, isn't it? We can go into committee, but is there any guarantee that it will stay in committee?
Well, all I can say is whenever we used to get papers, they were handed straight back in. We never had anything put through to us in IT, what do you call it, iPads. We were just given a bit of paper. We went through that, not the other bits, but if there was some sensitive bits to be discussed. But there was a certain amount of it, yes, was part of that public process as a trust.
Okay, look, I made the decision, stick by that decision, that we've got the annual report not only a month or so away. There'll be a chance then for people to...
Just,
like to have one thing to say though, Mr. Chairman. We have a protocol as councillors, and that election coming up, and that we will not use this these meetings as a forum for electioneering. And in my view, Council Laws was doing just that, nothing else. You don't need to answer.
No, wait on. You can't challenge the authority with due respect, Mr. Chairman. I can't be challenged like that or told that and not have a reply. I have been.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. You didn't even give him permission to speak.
I must have the chance to reply.
Council Laws can have his say, but quickly, please.
Thank you. I have been consistent since I got elected to the SAM. Maybe you just haven't been listening.
You have been consistent, all right.
On this particular issue of the accountability of the Port of Otago and the quality and quantity of information it provides to us as governments. It was not an unusual, therefore, don't be surprised if when a statement of intent comes up, I ask the same questions that I have been asking for the last 2.5 years. And I will continue to ask them as a governor responsible for their operation and to my constituents. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, that ends that debate at this stage. Okay, we'll move on. The minutes of the last meeting, both the public part and the in-committee part. The in-committee part was only to approve the minutes of the previous meeting, so I'll take them both together.
I'll move, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councillor Noon, seconded by Councillor Woodard. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Move on to the governance report. Mr. Donnelly, anything to add to that?
No, the GM report, it's only got the payments in there for the last 2 months, so there's no other items on there.
Yep. Thank you. Any comment? No comment. The recommendation moved by Councillor Noon, seconded by myself. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Moving on to public transport update. Quite a detailed report here. Dunedin network performance, Queenstown network performance. We'll move through it. Real-time information for Queenstown. Any comment on those first three? Sorry, Gavin. Sorry, before we start, have you got any comment?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'll take it as read, but Julian Phillips is our team leader, Public Transport Dunedin. He prepared the report and is happy to take any questions.
Yep. Welcome, Julian.
Thanks.
Right, well, those first three points, any comments on those?
Sorry, what page are you on, Mr. Chairman?
Sorry, I'm on page 10.
10.
10 and 11, real-time information, Queenstown. Will we move on?
Is that part of it, Mr.
Chairman? Yeah.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yep.
Yeah, sure. Listen, I don't take buses in Dunedin, obviously, but I have read the media reports for the last 48 hours relating to the bus timetable and missed buses and things like that. Is there any concern expressed by us as an overall operation? And have we expressed any contract?
We expressed via our contracts with the contractor. So where services are missed, the parameters within the contract, and then there are financial penalties for missing services. So they range from a per kilometre rate to liquidated damages, both of which have been applied in the last 12 months, both here and in Queenstown.
Right, so do we then take the money that we've earned, so we automatically fine them, you mean?
Yep.
What do we do with that money? Does that come back into our account? Or?
Don't know. I'd have to come back to you on that.
Yes, because we've never had a report to that effect, I don't think.
Yep.
Can you tell us next time you tell us
sure.
How much money has been allocated on how many occasions? I'd like to know, for both the efficiency purposes of both Queenstown and Dunedin, the gauge of effectiveness of how efficient they are at delivering the service to their commuters. So we probably need that information in the next 6 weeks. Is that fair enough?
Yep.
You can do that?
Yep, do that. I mean, it's actually, this happens on a monthly basis across most of the contracts we have, so it's literally on a trip-by-trip basis that there are penalties imposed if required. But there isn't some... It might not always be completely clear what a missed trip is, so a missed trip doesn't mean the service doesn't operate. It means it leaves its point of departure 5 minutes later than planned, but it can catch up later on. We still count that as a missed trip.
Yep. The reason I ask this question is because you will be aware of the problems that the Greater Wellington Regional Council is currently having with its bus services. Now, we obviously don't want that to happen here. So what I'm keen on doing is making sure that we can monitor at the six-weekly basis the effectiveness and efficiency of those bus services, and this seems to be a pretty good barometer. And so I'm quite keen on trying to get that through. I'd also like to know those fines, how often they're fined, and what the extent of them is, please. That can't be commercially sensitive, or is it?
Pass.
Mr Chairman, we'll come back on that. I mean, they're not a fine. The way these sorts of things ordinarily work is they're a deduction from the claim.
Yeah.
So it's a reduced charge on council as opposed to a refund, but we'll come back on the detail around how that actually works on these contracts.
But just to clarify, we're talking about in Dunedin alone, there are thousands of services per day. Where the percentage we're talking about, ballpark, is like 0.3% of services, something like that. And with forthcoming technology we have coming in time, the real-time service we're trialling in Queenstown and potentially in Dunedin has the ability to deliver more precise data and to look at, you know, hot spots across the network and where we need to actually perhaps bring additional services in during peak hours or whatever to stop these occurrences happening.
Because in Queenstown, I've talked to three bus drivers who now say that it's almost impossible for them at times to meet their time demand of congestion. They have to deal with it. Worried about the message getting out about fact that congestion is causing them to be late for trips.
Yep. So I've just driven down from Queenstown this morning and going back after this meeting. It took me yesterday an hour and a half to get out of the Countdown car park, which is on one of our main bus routes, at about 5:15. So, buses, like any road traffic, are affected. We do bring in additional buses into service to try and cope with that, but again, they still get stuck in the same traffic. So, yeah, it's an ongoing problem.
Councillor Kempton.
Dr. Palmer has answered my question. I think clearly there is going to be some consideration given to commercial sensitivity. I think we need to be very careful about the conditions inside a contract being made public, and I'm sure there are lots of good generic ways of presenting this information.
Thank you for that. Councillor Scott.
There was some publicity about the lack of cover or whatever at one end of the south end of the bus hub.
Yep.
On the east side for, I think, buses coming from out of town.
Yep.
And I'd just be interested to know what the reaction is to that and if there are any plans to address that in the short term, medium term.
Yeah, there are. So
perfect. Yep.
There are two issues. There is the regional stop you were talking about, which I'll go over first. So myself and DCC and our planners were on site on very early Monday morning, actually with the person who is in the ODT, who contacted us directly. We are putting in shelter. I don't have the knowledge behind why there isn't shelter there at the moment, but there is a requirement there. We have two surplus shelters that have recently come out of use due to route changes, and as at least for the short to medium time, we're going to install those with seating and see how they work in terms of capacity, subject to consultation with Countdown, because we'll have to put it against one of their walls, because the nature of regional buses is that they have side opening luggage areas that open out into the pavement, and that actually restricts, so we're putting it just ahead of the bus stop. DCC are putting a mixed recycling centre there as well, so there are some complications in terms of timing. But we are working closely with them. We think around, we're talking about matters of weeks if the consultation goes okay. The other stop, which has been repeatedly in the papers, is outside Community House. The reason for no shelter at Community House was due to the heritage nature of that property. That being said, a couple of weeks ago we had a meeting at DCC, and we are going to revisit with their heritage person or people whether there is actually an opportunity to do something at that site. I don't really have a timeline on that because it's not my area of expertise, but it is something we're looking at.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The rest of the report. We've got Lake Hayes Estate, Queenstown Services, relocation of the Camp Street Bus Hub, the Employment Relations Act issue, and the satisfaction surveys. Any comment on those? Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. So, yeah, the relocation in Queenstown's a result of that in a Queenstown area growing, essentially. So it's moving out probably two blocks, essentially, isn't it, really?
One and a bit.
There's a side road in the middle,
yeah,
sort of thing.
That's right.
And so hopefully that goes pretty smoothly from a passenger's perspective. I'm always interested in the data and been looking forward to the end of June data for a while, and looks like in Dunedin we had a few days where we had a ticketing issue, so there might be some extra numbers to come in there at one point, but it probably won't be huge, Julian. But yeah, Dunedin up 8% for the year on year, and that's to 2.545 million. And directly comparable, I suppose, with the year before, which is interesting there, whereas the Queenstown's a significant jump, up 64%, but that's the enhanced service. So, but still, 1.4 million, didn't quite get the 1.5 for the year, and so I wouldn't want to suggest for a second that we've cracked it. There's still lots of opportunity for growth in the system, and particularly in the Waikatipu Basin, where there are these congestion issues, and we're going to have to, as an organisation, evolve the public transport system and grow it and meet demand, if you like, and hopefully even get ahead of it in some places. And that'll mean changes during each year as we carry on. It's not what we've got in place now, certainly is not going to meet the needs of the community up there over the longer term or even the medium term. But good results. And just like to take the opportunity to thank staff, because there's an enormous amount of work goes on behind the scenes that we don't see. And there's a couple of pages of report here with some numbers on it. And some issues dealt with, but it's actually a big chunk of work for this organisation nowadays. So, yeah.
Councillor Scott.
Am I allowed to talk about the public transport satisfaction survey?
Yeah.
Okay, so look, from my perspective, there's been a lot of good things happening with transportation. I mean, the bus hub has been a real success, in my opinion. Nevertheless, when I read the survey has dropped 5% overall in the last year, and maybe that's to do with construction and just fitting in with the bus hub, and it could be as simple as that. But nevertheless, when you dig a little bit deeper in terms of the passenger satisfaction, there were four that dropped 6, 7, or 8 percentage points, and the first one was the buses on time, and that dropped 8%. And okay, maybe that's a function of the bus hub, I'm not sure. But nevertheless, it'd be worthwhile just keeping an eye on this. And that follows up, you know, the issues raised, Councillor Laws and so forth, and one contract in particular. The next one was value for money for fares, so that's dropped 6%, so that's interesting. And the travel time, probably not surprising the travel time's dropped a bit, because that's one of the fundamentals. It's dropped from 96% to 85%. I mean, that's dropped 11%. Ease of getting information, that has dropped 7%. And I mean, there's one that we have direct control on. I would have thought ease of information should have improved with the bus hub, the technology, but it's actually dropped. And I would just encourage staff to keep an eye on some of those parameters. Maybe come back. I mean, any comments with any of those key things? I mean, the first one was bus on time, maybe not the value for money, but the travel time and the ease of information. What's all that about? That's dropped 7%.
I think if you look at the timeliness as an example, the bus hub itself has reduced congestion in that central city area.
Yeah.
The impact of that is that we've actually, on some of the more popular services, have probably too much time in the timetable. So concurrently with the work we're doing on ERA regulations, which also affect the timetables, we will be making some timetabling changes where, in fact, we're actually taking time out of the route because it can get to the hub quicker than previously when it had to go through the Octagon area and was a bit more busy. Because it wasn't just a shift from the Octagon to the hub, the whole network of roads around that hub area has changed to ease the flow of traffic. There were traffic signal adjustments made. So actually some services are running more efficiently than the timetable allows. What will happen if there is too much time in the timetable is that a bus might hang around at a stop for a little bit before approaching the hub in order to meet the timetable. So we're actually working with the operators in reviewing some of the times, and in the next month or so, changing times of some of the services.
What about the information being available?
Not sure.
Route information.
On that, I mean, at this point last year, we'd introduced a whole lot of new stuff, so that we were probably at a peak. That could be an explanation for it, but we've never delivered more information than we have currently.
Yeah, well, I speak in the final point. Last year we were at a peak, 93%. It's dropped to 88%. With these changes, I'm assuming that we're expecting the overall satisfaction to go up.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think with the... If we... when something new is introduced, with a significant route change or something like a bus hub or something major to the network, and this is across the region, across New Zealand or anywhere with a public transport network, the tying in with the satisfaction survey taking place around the same sort of time, potential for a drop in satisfaction. We had, I'll use as an example, Mosgiel services, where when they were introduced in 2015, we had a colossal wave of negative feedback, absolutely horrendous in terms of managing it. Now we're in a position where we're struggling to cope with demand on the service. We're putting additional buses on, and it's just, it takes people time to get used to the and appreciate the changes that we've made.
No, fair enough. Just keep an eye on it.
Councillor Robinson, did you have a... Councillor Noon, then Councillor Laws,
Thanks, Mr Chair. My question is around the satisfaction of the service across the region, and it relates to bus shelters and seats in bus shelters. Has that question ever been asked in a survey question? The reason why I raise it, a number of people have said to me over the last 2.5 years, why don't we have a policy that we actually put seats in all our shelters rather than on demand, because I understood that's our policy. We tend to put seats in on demand, so servicing an area where there are a lot of elderly, we would incline to put seats in. Is that the policy?
We don't have a policy.
Okay.
But that being said, it's something that has come up in the last 2 weeks, and we're working now with DCC on a policy because of the relationship with us and them and the infrastructure, and we'll also roll that with QLDC as well. If you look in Queenstown, I don't think any of the shelters have seats. But tying into what you said, something like 1% of users are Super Gold card holders. Over here, it's on demand, but we probably should have a policy. So it's something we're working on. The planning team's working on at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Laws.
I just want to emphasise again, though, we've got a quantity report. That one's going to be fundamentally related to the other. Quality standards. Quality drops, one way. Confidence, Brian, and therefore patronage to decline, as it did in the past. I just want to make sure that we've got. Some sort of quality standard that we can report against to assure us of that service being delivered. Have you got any thoughts?
I understand the question. We'd probably need to think about that. I mean, these are quality measures when you look at them.
What's a quality measure?
Helpfulness and attitude of the driver.
Customer service satisfaction. I'm talking about, in actual fact, the delivery of the service. So how many times are they late? Do they turn up? Does it turn up at all? Those sorts of things. The actual delivery of the service.
Those are very detailed operational measures, yes.
Okay, let's have a think about that.
Well,
future. Councillor Whitehead, Councillor Deacon was next.
Yeah, this might sound like a petty question, Julian. I live at the top of routes of 10 and 11 up in Signal Hill at the terminus, and we have become mystified and irritated by what we call ghost buses. The regular bus arrives, pulls into the terminus, woof, another bus arrives, parks up alongside it for a while, and gallops off down the hill again. Now, this happens frequently during the day and during the night. And they are not for service, sorry, on the front and on the side. Why on earth is Ritchie's running a parallel service, one of which is not accessible?
Is this a recent thing?
Probably in the last 6 to 8 weeks, probably at least. I'm thinking it must be ERA related, something to do with meal breaks. Maybe they're swapping drivers. But why on earth would you run a 36-foot diesel bus up to put a relief driver on?
I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find out.
You will come back.
We don't fund the dead running of the services. Well, I would
it's
say
happening
that.
All the time.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Councillor Whitehead.
And I touched on it earlier today, but the improvement with the direct link into Lake Hayes Estate shot over country and aiming at implementation in the fourth quarter. There's a lot of the community's been looking for it for a while, and the governance group's been talking about it for a while, so on target?
Well, we have a route, we have it in our new ticketing system, which is critical, because in order for it to function in the new system, it needs to be, the raw data needs to be in there. That has probably caused some of the delay. We have a price to operate the service from the operator, so it's we're close to getting it to the, I guess, the next council meeting to get it approved.
Great, thank you. That'd be good.
Councillor Hope.
Thank you. I just have a question for both of you. On page 17, which is this here, and you've got unit 1, 2, this is your 4, how you've worked this out. Unit 5 for Mosgiel and the Mosgiel Loop Abbotsford, I'm quite correct here, aren't I? The bus no longer goes to Brighton?
Sorry, could you say that again?
So we have unit 5, which I assume is where you would have once had the bus that's gone to Brighton, no longer travels to Brighton at all?
Yeah, so the Brighton, we can get this edited, but the Abbotsford service is actually the Brighton service, it travels from Brighton and does a loop around Abbotsford and stops at Green Island and then goes back to Brighton,
Sorry, I apologise for that.
Yeah.
Just see it.
Okay. I'll move the recommendation. Have a seconder, please. Seconded by Councillor Hope. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Last thing to do, recommendations from the Audit and Risk Committee meeting of the 20th of June. Any comment? Fairly brief. Someone move. We adopt those.
Happy to move those. We adopt them, Mr. Chairman.
That will include the in committee as well, given that it's very brief. Just headlines.
Yep.
Is that in order to do that?
Yep.
Okay. Seconded by Councillor Noon. Any comment? If not, put it to the meeting. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.